This is Fresh Air. Midnight Diner is a Japanese TV series about a diner located on a quiet side street in one of Tokyo's busiest districts. Although the show has been running on Netflix for several years, our critic at large, John Powers, keeps rewatching old episodes. He says the show creates a mood that keeps calling the viewer back.
Ever since the strikes began in Hollywood, the usual torrent of new shows has slowed to a trickle. And people keep asking me what older shows they should watch. Was there anything great that they might have missed along the way? You know, something they would love as much as they loved The Bear. I always recommend Midnight Diner, the strangely addictive Japanese series whose 24-minute episodes unfold with the lazy looseness of happy hour. Now, the show is anything but hot or zeitgeisty. It first appeared on Netflix 7 years ago, and hung around for so long that a few months back, the streamer stopped showing the first 3 seasons, leaving its huge, loyal fan base bereft. You see, part of Midnight Diner's appeal is that it's one of those timeless shows that's always there for you. Suddenly, it wasn't. Happily, the show is now back on Netflix in its entirety, and like millions of others, I haven't been able to resist rewatching. I'm blissed out from the moment I hear the opening theme. The show's setting is a dimly lit alleyway in the teeming Tokyo neighborhood of Shinjuku. There you find the Midnight Diner, a small all-night joint run by the chef known only as Master. That's quietly charismatic Kobayashi Kaoru, whose stony countenance is broken by flickers of amusement and compassion. His counter is filled with regulars, including an exotic dancer named Marilyn, the cheery old boozer who's her biggest fan, a besuited salaryman who moves like a bird, 3 high-spirited bachelorette office workers, and a self-styled monk who utters nonsensical aphorisms. The episodes have the simplicity of folk tales or dinner party anecdotes. In each, we meet new characters, cartoonists, con women, cops, yakuza, old married couples, and love-struck youngsters, who ask the master to cook them a particular off-the-menu dish. Wieners cut in the shape of octopi, say, or potato salad like their moms. Although modest, each dish means something big to the person who orders it. And these meals anchor the action as we, like Master and his regulars, follow the newcomer's fortunes, failed careers and overnight successes, romances found and lost, old wounds opened and transcended. The original Midnight Diner was a purely Japanese concoction that ran for 3 seasons, starting in 2009. By American standards, those episodes were shambling, low-budget, and uncynical. That changed a bit when Netflix started producing the series in 2016, changing the name to Midnight Diner Tokyo Stories, and making it a bit more like our homegrown TV, with slicker storylines and less reticence from the master. Still, the show never lost what makes it irresistible. Goofy and gently sad, Midnight Diner liberates you from angry politics, trashy reality stars, and dramas about serial killers. It lands you in a universe where, even if bad things happen, the world is manageable and essentially benevolent. It creates a kindly mood that even a hard-bitten critic like me wants to enter, starting with one of the most seductive opening credit sequences of all time. Taxis gliding through Tokyo neon, that dreamy theme by Suzuki Tsunekichi, and, in a calm voiceover, the master telling us about his diner. I never, ever skip these credits. Even as the show is funny and attuned to Japanese obsessions, it taps into something deep and universal, a modern spiritual homesickness. Not only is Master a mysterious loner with no history, his customers are loners too, either regulars for whom the diner's clientele become a de facto family, or troubled souls drawn to his counter in the wee hours. If anything links the characters, it's nostalgia for family, for high school, for a lost love, or old-time pop idol. And as Proust taught us a century ago, nothing triggers memories better than food. It's one of the comical sides of the show that 95% of the customers declare the master's down-home cooking delicious, a success rate that would make him the envy of the world's greatest chefs. Yet we grasp at what they're really tasting is the feeling unleashed by his dishes. And Midnight Diner pleases us in a similar way. It's the TV version of comfort food.
John Powers reviewed Midnight Diner on Netflix. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Ronan Farrow joins us to talk about his latest expose for The New Yorker on the power of Elon Musk, titled Elon Musk's Shadow Rule. It's about Musk's rising influence in government relations. I hope you can join us. To keep up with what's on the show and to get highlights of our interviews, follow us on Instagram at NPR Fresh Air. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krinzel, Heidi Simon, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Teresa Madden, Thea Challoner, Seth Kelly, and Susan Yakundi. Our digital media producer is Molly C.V. Nesper. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Tanya Mosley.